Dear Cheap Astronomy, is crashing asteroids on the moon really going to work? As we've discussed before on this podcast, crashing asteroids on the moon may seem a useful way to avoid a lot of tedious mucking about with drilling and explosives, but the trouble is, not only do they crash, they hit the lunar surface with such force as to completely disintegrate the crashing object, as well as disintegrating a big semicircular chunk of the moon's surface in the form of a crater. A standard benchmark statistic is that a 100-meter asteroid that hits the moon's surface at 10 to 20 kilometers a second will produce an energy output equivalent to a nuclear explosion, hence disintegrating the asteroid and leaving behind a crater of more than 1 kilometer in diameter. 10 to 20 kilometers a second is 10 to 20 times faster than a speeding bullet, but it's nothing special in astronomical terms. The Earth orbits the Sun with an orbital velocity of around 30 kilometers a second, and anything sharing its orbit will be moving at about the same speed and in the same general direction around the Sun. Nonetheless, when things moving at those speeds do cross paths, their impact is still generally violent. It's estimated that most asteroids hitting the Moon do so with a velocity of between 10 to 20 kilometers a second, although some may be slower and some may get as fast as 40 kilometers a second, those variations being the result of both the Moon's and the asteroid's intersecting velocities, as well as the acceleration provided by the Moon's gravity. The reason we don't see lots of nuclear-equivalent explosions on the Moon is that it hasn't been hit by anything approaching 100 meters within the period that we've known that asteroids existed. History has records of a number of visible flashes on the Moon's surface observed by the naked eye, but certainly there's been nothing in the nuclear range in recent history. On a yearly basis, there are probably only 5 objects, even approaching 10 meters in diameter, the impact of which generally creates a flash of light if you are looking at just the right moment. So, although it's true that the Moon's surface is regularly bombarded by objects, that's largely in the form of lots and lots of micrometeorites. It's guessed that a 100-meter-sized object might hit the Moon once every 100,000 years or so. Whenever that happens, that object would certainly disintegrate. However, smaller, less massive objects would hit with less force, but are still likely to disintegrate, given those visible flashes we see indicate there's still a lot of heat and energy involved. To date, we've only found tiny fragments of meteorites on the Moon, the largest known being a hole 3 millimeters wide, which was collected by Apollo 12 and generously called the Bench Crater meteorite, although it's really just a tiny bit of shrapnel left over from the explosive impact of a larger object that produced the 65-meter diameter Bench Crater. It's a whole different story on Earth, where we often find quite large meteorites that appear to have landed relatively gently. Although when we say quite large, we are talking 6.5 meters wide for the largest known intact meteorite, the Hober meteorite, found in Namibia. An asteroid plummeting towards Earth hits the atmosphere before it hits the ground. That initial impact is often enough to break an asteroid into pieces, which then keep falling up to their terminal velocity, the speed at which they are unable to push any faster through the atmosphere, despite the accelerating nature of gravity. So, in Earth's case, most rock-sized asteroids just don't achieve enough velocity to disintegrate on impact. If they do produce a crater, it's really just a dent, which is not much bigger than the object itself. Of course, Earth does have real impact craters, like the Barringer meteor crater in Arizona, which is around 1 kilometer in diameter, thought to have been caused by a metallic 50-meter diameter object. Objects of this size and mass still get slowed by the atmosphere, but the kinetic energy of the impact is influenced by mass as well as velocity, so you can still get nuclear-level explosive impacts from big asteroids hitting the Earth. Back to the Moon, though. The absence of an atmosphere is a problem. If deliberate lunar asteroid crashing is to be an economically viable method of asteroid mining, we need to do something to limit the destructive force of those asteroid impacts, even though a degree of contained destructive force might actually be a good thing. So the first step to dealing with all that complexity is to have a part two.